fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. It's a great week coming up to celebrate. We have tomorrow is the celebration, the Solemnity of All Saints, where we remember and we celebrate and we give glory to God for the reality of our brothers and sisters who've gone before us and are now with the Lord in glory. You know, each one of us is called and destined to become a saint. And that process is to begin now. I mean, the reason the church exists is to call men and women to that destiny, to become saints and to turn from sin, to turn from the power of the world, the flesh and the devil, and to receive through baptism and God's mercy and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the capacity now to live a new life in Christ and to begin to live now the life of the future kingdom. We're destined to live with Jesus and share what belongs to him in glory at the right hand of the Father for all eternity, a joy beyond all compare, and being able to see God face to face. The scriptures teach that it's really not possible for us to see the face of God, the holy God, and live. What we need is we need the grace of Jesus Christ, the power of his Spirit, the power of his cross and his blood to purify us, to cleanse us from all sin, to make us holy, to be able to bring us into the presence of God. And that's what Jesus does for each and every person. Everyone who ultimately enters the kingdom of God enters by way of the door. And the door is a person. The door is Jesus Christ. And to enter that door, enter that gate, requires humility. A humility that receives the diagnosis that Jesus gives of every human heart. The biblical worldview. The recognition. Jesus came, the Father sent the Son, to deal with a fundamental problem that affects every single human being. We've all sinned and fall short of God's glory. We're all separated from God. We battle, friends. We're born into sin, born under the reign of sin and death, St. Paul would describe it. It's a power that dominates us and keeps us separated from God, the holy God, God who is holy. God sent forth his Son into the world to redeem us, to make it possible for us to enter into a relationship with God and to dwell with God in his presence. Without the work of Jesus, without the cleansing blood of Christ purifying us, and the work of the Holy Spirit making us holy, that is, setting us apart for God and purifying us, that whole process, we could not enter into the presence of God. No one can see the face of God and live apart from the work of Jesus Christ. And to receive the work of the Lord requires humility, the denial of myself. Humility is not to have a negative attitude about myself or to think less of myself, but it's simply to think less about myself, to forget myself. Jesus said, if you deny yourself and take up your cross, if you forget yourself and put God at the center and not my ego at the center, that's the foundation of the capacity to receive the Lord, because the Lord comes to each and every one of us. He's the great physician. And he diagnoses the true condition of our life, your life and mine, beginning with his reading of the core of our being. What's at the core of our being? In my heart and in yours. Jesus told the apostles and the Pharisees, who asked them, essentially, what makes a person unclean? Is it what he eats? What he drinks? And Jesus said, it's not what comes from outside a person that makes them unclean, but what comes from within. Then he said these amazing words, challenging words. He said, look at your heart. What's in the human heart? Envy, jealousy, rivalry, conceit, anger, bitterness, lust, unforgiveness, hatred. These are all signs of the presence of a fallen human heart, a sin-sick heart. Jesus said, that's the condition of every human heart. And at the center of it is pride, is a perpetual focus on me, on getting ahead, on my good, my place, my power, my influence, my pleasure, my dreams. It's a preoccupation with myself. We're made for another. We're made for God, to love God. We're made to love our neighbor. That's really how God designed us. But the fall has literally broken something in us and made it impossible for us on our own resources to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And so the first step, and what we see today in today's reading from Philippians chapter 2, is to be able to receive Jesus' diagnosis of each one of us. That requires humility. That requires denying the ego and to be able to say, Jesus, your words are true. Your diagnosis of my life is spot on. It's totally accurate. And I do need a Savior. I can't save myself. Ooh, the human heart hates that idea. We want to be able to save ourselves, to rely on our own resources. Here's Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through, we'll go 1 through 6, maybe all the way to 11 today if we can get through it. So, brothers and sisters, if there's any encouragement in Christ, any solace in love, any participation in the Spirit, any compassion and mercy, complete my joy by being of the same mind and of the same heart, united in one heart, thinking one thing. So Paul is gathering each one of us up as we read this. He says, remember, let's be united in our love, be united in heart, have our minds and hearts set on one thing. Then he begins to describe it. He says, do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory, but rather humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking not to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. He's beginning now, he's going to lead us into what is the heart and mind of Christ. Why are we supposed to humble ourselves and not be focused on our own selfish concerns or vainglory? Because we now belong to another. We belong to Christ. And Jesus is the one. He's the icon. He's the image. He reveals to us who we actually are. And Paul's whole understanding is to say, what God has given to us in Jesus is light about who we are, giving us an understanding of what it means to be human, how we reach human fulfillment, how we reach the fulfillment of all desire, the fundamental desires and drives that God has given to us to love God and to love neighbor. How do we get there? He said, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Verse 5, have this mind among yourselves. Remember, Paul would exhort us in Romans and other places that to be Christian means to have a renewed mind, a mind touched by the Holy Spirit. And so you're going to think radically differently than the world. Our mind is going to no longer be conformed to the world. That's the condition we're in. In our death-directed flesh and the power of the world to seduce us to be conformed to something other than Christ, Paul's saying now, here's the mind of Christ. Here's what the Holy Spirit wants to produce in you and where he wants to lead you. So have this mind among yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. What does it mean that he was in the form of God? That he's God himself. And so he did not count equality with God, the reality that the Father and the Son are co-equal, that he shares the divinity of the Father, that all power and glory belong to him. He didn't grasp it. He didn't come into this world. He was born of Mary. He was born of a virgin. He took on human flesh. He humbled himself, Paul will tell us. He didn't come in all his power and his glory, which he will come with when he comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead. But instead, what did he do? Paul said, he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Jesus condescended to the place of a creature. He took on human flesh. He took on our identity so that he could become a sacrifice for our sin. So God's plan and purpose for the whole human race could be fulfilled in the person of Jesus. Where, as the saying goes, where Adam failed to stand, God created Adam to walk with God, to love neighbor. But Adam sinned and fell and didn't trust God, and he rebelled against him. Jesus now is the second Adam. He comes to fulfill God's plan and purpose for the human race. Where Adam failed to stand, Jesus is the victor. Jesus now, taking on human flesh, is able to turn the tables on the strategy of the devil, the power of the world, and the flesh within us. He now begins something entirely new in the human race. The new creation is born in the person of Jesus Christ, the new humanity. Jesus, the second Adam, now leading the human race to give to God what belongs to God. And in order for that to happen, Jesus had to leave, you might say, set aside his royalty, his majesty, his power, and his glory to become one of us. So he became a servant. He came to serve. He told the apostles, he comes among us as one who serves. He washed the feet of the apostles, and he laid down his life for his friends. He took on the form of a servant. He was born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, verse 8 tells us, being found in human form, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Where is that humility expressed? Through Jesus' obedience. The Father, for God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not die, but have everlasting life. The Son said yes to the Father to become one of us and to die. He became a sacrifice for sin, your sin and mine. And that humility, the humility Jesus expressed, was a yes to the Father. Though he was innocent, though he was in the form of God, he didn't say, Father, wait a minute, this isn't fair. I didn't commit sin, they did. Your creatures did. Wipe them out. We don't need them. Why should I suffer in their place? Because God is love, because God loves us, and God desires to save us. And he sent his only Son to die for us. And Jesus' humility is expressed in his obedience. Obedience to the Father's command. It's the way he expressed love to the Father, desiring to do the will of God, to do the will of another, and not as insisting on his own will. That's part of the emptying, the passage here, it's called kenosis, the self-emptying of Jesus, in order that he could be obedient to the Father. And it was Jesus' yes to the Father, his obedience to the Father, that destroyed the power of sin and death and broke the power of the reign of sin over the human heart. The sin that came from the heart of Adam that said no to God, that released the power of sin, the fall of the human race, Jesus turns that on its head. He breaks its power and he reestablishes the human race in right order to God the Father by saying yes to him and obeying him and giving to God what belongs to God. Verse 9, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What Paul is declaring here is what Jesus himself taught again and again, that the humble will be exalted and the exalted will be humbled. The road to life, the road to human fulfillment, the life that expresses human dignity in its fullest is the road of humility. It's following the footsteps of Jesus. It's to be conformed not to this world and to the pride and the lust and everything that's in the world, but to say yes to the Father and say yes to the work of the Spirit in you and in me, and the Spirit's desire to move us into conformity to Christ, to be formed with Jesus, to take on the person of Jesus, and to walk in his footsteps. That's the road to happiness, to peace, and to fulfillment. And it's a road that Jesus has set out for each and every one of us. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.